Before lunch, we talked about sheep and goats, Matthew 25. I am not someone who has ever had a sheep or a goat. But in talking to some people who have had sheep and goats, I have been told that goats often like the grass on the other side of the fence. They are creatures which have that greener grass syndrome. The grass over there must be a lot better than over here. So those who care for goats find that it is not uncommon for them to go out, and as they deal with their goats, to find that one of their goats has put its head into fencing, maybe barbed wire fence, and that head got stuck to the fence and stuck because they wanted the greener grass. The eating habits of goats imply a lack of contentment. And maybe that's one of the reasons why when Jesus gave that teaching in Matthew chapter 25, he talked about the unsaved in terms of goats. In our time, and we had a lesson on this not too long ago, on a Sunday evening we talked about contentment. In our time, a lack of contentment is still a significant issue. We find people who get married, and before the marriage, they talk about the love of the life. This is the person that I've been looking for. This is the person I've been searching for. I've finally found the special person, and this is the person that I will be with until I die. It doesn't always work that way. We've heard some people, when it comes to the work world, I finally have the perfect job. This is the greatest job in the world. But after a few months, maybe a year, maybe after 5 years, there's a lack of contentment. In the later years, someone retires. Oh, we have come to the point of retirement. I'm so happy. This is the perfect time. But months or years after retirement comes, there's a lack of contentment. Almost anything in life can eventually turn out to be discontent. This afternoon, we want to continue our study with goats and the idea of they're not being content based on the Old Testament. I want to spend some time back in 1 Kings chapter 11. We don't have to read very far. In 1 Kings 11, before we find a lack of contentment. This, of course, has some information about Solomon, and you find that he was married to a lot of ladies. And one might think that he was happy in all those relationships, but that was simply not the case. 1 Kings 11, let's see what we find in 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Now, King Solomon, the Bible says he loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonianites, and the Hittites. Solomon did not find contentment with a single woman. Neither, as we look at the text, is it suggested that he found contentment with a particular race of women. Many foreign women were loved by him. In fact, as you count up the ites in 1 Kings 11, verse 1, he was married to women who came from five different ites. If you read down a couple more verses, you find in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, that this man had 700 wives. Now think about that. Guy's married. He has 700 wives. Have you ever wondered if Solomon thought that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence? Sure seems to me that he had that thought a time or two. Did he think that wife number two was going to be so much better? That the grass with wife number two was going to be so much greener than wife number one? What was this fellow thinking about after he had 100 wives? What was he thinking about after he had the 200th wife? After the 500th wife? Along with these 700 wives, if that were not enough, the text also tells us that Solomon had 300 concubines. And as he thought about these women, we might refer to them as secondary wives. Maybe he thought, oh, if I can just get some concubines, then the grass will really be greener. That's where to go. If that grass had truly been greener, would it not make sense that he would not have continued to enter into more and more relationships? Yet, like Solomon, people today still believe that the grass is greener. We see that in dating, as well as divorce. There have been, in the past, there still are numerous men who have thought, if I could just have a different woman, if I could exchange my wife for her, or if I could just have that wife, things would be so much better for me. There have been some ladies who have thought the same thing. Oh, I've got this guy, I've been married to him for a while, and if I could just have that man, if I could just be married to that guy, if I had just selected him as my husband, my life would have been so much better. Now, I admit that there are cases where new relationships may be, and perhaps are, better than previous ones. But in the majority of cases, as we start looking at people who go through the greener grass syndrome, in the majority of instances, the grass is not really greener. We've seen it. There's a lady who finds the perfect guy. And she tells her friend, she puts it on Facebook and sends out bulk text messages. I have found the guy. This is the fella. We see her a year later. Well, yeah, we spent some time together, but I'm now on my 10th perfect guy. Know anybody like that? I can name a few. The devil wants us to believe that the grass is really greener on the other side of the fence. But that greener grass, as many have come to find, is either brown or dead. As we think about the greener grass, looking at it from the perspective of 1 Kings chapter 11, let's see what we find a few verses later. Same chapter, 1 Kings 11, but let's move down to verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah, his God. Wasn't perfect like David, his father. In Solomon's old age, the text says his heart was turned away from God. What we see here, I think, is greener grass and connecting it with religion. It's sad. Maybe one of the saddest things that I've ever seen. But there are people who, when it comes to the gospel of Christ, the church that Christ built, they will leave it for something else that looks greener. I'm still puzzled every time that happens, but for reasons unthinkable to me, for reasons really inexplicable to me, sometimes people will leave Christ Church for a religious group created by men because they see that as greener grass. I've heard people say, all my friends go over there. And because of their friends, that's the greener grass. Other people have said, well, there's so many more people over there. Higher number of people. That's their greener grass. I've had people say to me, well, they have such great performances over there. I love the music. And that's their greener grass. Or they talk about politics over there. Or over there, they are more focused on social needs of people. And that's what we want. That is the greener grass. So that's why we're headed over that way. Goats want the greener grass. That's true in the secular realm. It's also true in the spiritual realm. Satan, though, knows that goats are not the only one susceptible to the greener grass syndrome. When it comes to spiritual matters, people often do think that there is greener grass. But I'd like to suggest in this lesson that God's grass is as green as it gets. There's not greener grass anywhere else. There's no better field. There's no better pasture than what God offers. In addition to what we find in 1 Kings 11, verse 4, let's move down two verses and see what we find in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6. And Solomon did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. And he went not fully after Jehovah, as did David, his father. Solomon, as he lived his life, he failed to fully follow God. Didn't go as far as David did. If we want to be a Christian, and I think that's true for the people who are in this assembly, we have a choice. We can choose to be fully committed to Christ and his word, and we can live the Christian life to the fullest possible degree. The other option is we can choose to be lukewarm, half-hearted, somewhat committed. Being a lukewarm Christian can seem like that's a pretty good field to be in. It can seem like that's pretty good grass. We have, on the one hand, a foot in the world, and we can enjoy all the things over here that we might want to do. And at the same time, we can put our other foot over here in the church, and we can blend the two together. But lukewarm faith, even though some might see that as greener grass, it's not greener grass. It doesn't work. Goats are looking for that greener grass. Sheep look to the shepherd and ask to be led in the paths of righteousness. Now, there may be times when we think about that greener grass that it may appear greener for a while. The Hebrew writer talked about the pleasures of sin for a season. But eventually that grass, which may look so green, so attractive, just as that goat gets its head caught in the fence, so that greener grass eventually becomes clear that it is not all that attractive. Solomon may have thought that he was doing really well. 1,000 women. King. He wasn't fully following God. And maybe he thought, as he was over there to some degree in the world, look at the life I'm living, I really have it made. The grass is really greener. God said to him, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to face some difficulties. Staying with the same chapter, but let's now look at verses 11 and 12. Wherefore Jehovah said unto Solomon, he wanted to poke his head through that fence, and God said, now this is going to happen to you. For as much this is done of thee, that thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee. God said, I'm going to rend, I'm going to tear the kingdom away from you. And I'm going to give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in other words, this isn't going to happen right away. I will not do it for David thy father's sake. But I'm going to rend it, I'm going to tear it out of thy the hand of thy son. Solomon didn't lose the kingdom. But God said, You've tried to have the greener side of the grass. That doesn't exist. And your grass is going to get brown and a little crunchy. We know that, and we know some of the things associated with it as we move down a few more verses. In the first part of verse 14, same chapter, notice these words. And Jehovah raised up an adversary. Solomon thought that things were going so well. God said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have some challenges. I'm going to raise up this adversary. So that was adversary number one. And as you move down through the text a little bit, you find as you move down to verse 23 that there was a second adversary. The text says in 23, and God raised up another adversary unto him. If two adversaries were not enough to brown up that supposedly greener grass, this is what we find in verse 26, same chapter. And Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zeredah, a servant of Solomon, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow. He also lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon got angry at Jeroboam. This adversary angered him so much that verse 40 says, Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam. One of man's weaknesses, sometimes even for the best people, is to look at other individuals, other circumstances, maybe other groups of people, and to look at those individuals or people or circumstances and think, they have a better life than I do. The grass is really greener for them. Goats typically see greener grass. God says to his people, the sheep, look at your own grass. Be satisfied with your own pasture. It's no secret that Psalm 23 is a beloved text for many. But you know, as I think about Psalm 23, as I reflect on that passage, I find this psalm to be a bit odd as far as a passage to love, because many of the people who claim to love it, many of the people who claim to really believe it, would never want to live by it. Imagine an individual who is going through life and always thinking about the greener grass. They look at others, they look at other circumstances, and that what others have, where others are in life, those things always seem better than their circumstances. It may be the homeowner. He looks at his yard and maybe looks at his flowers and thinks, boy, the neighbor across the street, I like his grass better. I like his flowers better. I sure wish my yard, I sure wish my house looked like his yard or house. Maybe it's the housewife. As she is maybe in the house of a friend and she sees the kitchen of another friend. It's the greener grass syndrome. I really wish I had that kitchen. I really wish I had those appliances, those tools. Maybe it's a young person. That child goes over to the home of a friend and thinks, boy, the grass is so much greener over here. The parents are so much better. The parents are so much nicer. The parents are so much more lenient. And the toys are a lot better. I sure wish I lived at this house. Maybe it's a job. We look at the job that someone has and we think, I wish I could work at that company. I wish I had those hours. I wish I had those benefits. I wish I had that boss. The list goes on and on and on. It can affect us as Christians as well. You might worship, perhaps you're out of town, maybe with a family member or friend. And you worship at a congregation and you think, boy, I sure wish I could be a member of this congregation. The grass looks greener. Greener grass is literally all around us. We don't have to look far to find it. And many are interested in getting that grass. But you know, the people who are often interested in getting that grass would also say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23, verse 1. Well, that doesn't line up very well, does it? I want the greener grass on the one hand. On the other, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The point should be pretty clear from Psalm 23, verse 1. But if it's not, think about how that psalm continues. Psalm 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. David said, I'm satisfied with the grass God has given me. I'm not like that goat that's out there trying to weasel my way through the fence and get into some different grass. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Then we come to Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a short psalm. Then we get down to verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A lot of goats, oddly enough, claim that Psalm 23 is one of their favorite texts in the Bible. I just can't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me, because on the one hand you're saying, oh, God has given me grass and I'm satisfied with it, and on the other hand, that's simply not true. God's sheep seek to be content with what they have. Seeing what others have, seeing what others are allowed to use, may offer us some temptation at times. But when we're tempted to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and we can have that temptation starting very early in life, and that can last until we have our final days, realize that in almost every set of circumstances, that's simply not true. Even if we could leave behind maybe what appears to us to be brown grass, we are exchanging this set of problems for that set of problems. We're going to pick up some new issues. The best grass comes from the shepherd, the good shepherd. And we either follow him as a sheep, as we looked at earlier this morning, or we are classified as a goat. This morning we asked, are we a sheep or a goat? And we're asking that question once again. Are we a sheep because we follow the shepherd? We've believed in him. We've turned our life around because of repentance. We've confessed that he is the good shepherd. We've been joined to the good shepherd by baptism, Galatians 3:27, and we seek to be led by him every single day in life. If we have not done that, or if we have done that and we're not faithfully following him, we're a goat. And this morning we heard what will happen to the goats. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't be a goat in life. Certainly let's not be a goat in eternity. If we can help you become one of the Lord's sheep, or help restore you to the fold, let us know what we can do for you as we stand and sing the selected song.